Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, in Podim, can't use, in order to redeem the Petar Chamor, lo behegel, can't use a calf, lo bechaya, not a wild animal, lo bishchuta, not a set that's already shachut, but lo betreifa, and not a set that is a treifa, as Rashi notes over here, shenechduchu raglem in arkovo lamala. Has to be a treifa that is visible, because obviously if the animal's not shechted, you can't see the treifa that are inside. But it has to be a visible treifa that you can't use. If it turns out to be a treifa, that's okay, just you can't use something that is visibly a treifa. And obviously this is a case where he wants to redeem it not at its fair value, because we already determined that if you want to do it at its fair value, you can use even shavikas, so it doesn't matter what you use or utilize to get to the fair value. Here he's trying to redeem it because it's a set and not its fair value. There, all these items are precluded because they're not classified as a set. Velobikilayim, not a mixed breed. Over here, Rashi says, Taish Habal Rachel, where you have a mixed breed between a goat and a sheep. Velobikoi, and not a koi, where Rashi says, over here, Safek Chaya, Safek Behema. We saw in the Gemara and Chulin numerous opinions as to what a koi is. But from Rabbi Eliezer's response over here, we're going to see that it is focusing on a particular one of those. Rabbi Eliezer matir bikilayim, and Rabbi Eliezer says that kilayim is fine. Bignei shehu set. In the end, a set is either a goat or a sheep. The word set could be set izim or set kvasim. So over here we have a mixed breed between an az and a keves. Then the offspring, by definition, is a set. It might be a mixed breed between an az and a keves, but it still qualifies as a set, and therefore it can't be used. The Bali Tosafot over here speak about whether the girsa should be Rabbi Eliezer. According to them, it says Rabbi Elazar garsinan velo garsinan Rabbi Eliezer. They think it should be Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Although our Gemara uses Rabbi Eliezer throughout, including in the Mishnah here. Loser b'koi. On the other hand, he says by a koi, it's problematic. Minei shehu safek, because it is a safek. So there you see from the view of Rabbi Eliezer that the reference to koi in this Mishnah, first of all, is clearly not Birya Bifnei Atzma, which is one of the opinions, because he says it is a safek. A koi that's a Birya Bifnei Atzma is not an issue of safek. The other thing that he's noting is that not only is it a safek chaya safek beima, but it's a mixture between a goat and a deer of some sort. Because that is the safek chaya, safek behema, and that would be the safek over here as to whether that qualifies as a set. And so from this, it seems that the koi that we're speaking about here, as the Rabbeinu Gershon points out, is a tayish minatzviya, offspring that's born from a goat and a deer. Netano the kohen, ena kohen rashai the kaimo, if he gives the petor chamor to the kohen rather than redeeming it, he is not allowed the kohen to keep it around, until he actually takes off a seh and his podet. Even though he's going to keep the seh, he still has to do it. And Rashi, on the next Amud, explains that the kaimo means afilu sha'achat. It's not allowed to keep it at all for any amount of time. Immediately, he has to redeem it with a seh, even though, again, the seh he's going to keep. But nevertheless, there is this petar chamor that needs to be redeemed. And he has to do that immediately, even though, had it been his own Petar Chamor, he would have to do nothing. But because it's someone else gave him the Petar Chamor, now he needs to deal with it and redeem it, like the person who gave it to him would have had to have done. And as the Rabbeinu Gershon points out, this is not only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that there's an Isur Hanah associated with the Petar Chamor, that the Kohen has to do the redemption, but even according to Rabbi Shimon, you need to do the redemption because you have a Gzeirat HaKatuv. That a Petar Chamor, if you don't redeem it, needs to have Arifa. And that would apply even in the hands of the Kohen. Because there's no obligation to give the Petar Chamor to the Kohen. The obligation is to either redeem it or have Arifa. So if the Petar Chamor is given to the Kohen, he's got to pick one of those two options. He's either got to redeem it or he's got to do Arifa. Because the Petar Chamor itself does not accomplish the mitzvah by handing it from Israel to the Kohen. Now Gemara says, Matnitin Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Who's the attribution of our Mishnah to? Ben Bagbag. It must be Ben Bagbag. The Tanya Ben Bagbag Omer. Nermer kan seh. Nermer lahalan seh. It says seh by Petar Chamor. And it also says seh by Kurban HaPesach. In Parshat Bo it says seh tamim zachar ben shana yelachem. Min haksavim u min haizim tikachu. Malahalan prat l'chol shemot halalu. Just like by the Korban HaPesach, it means to the exclusion of all of these items. Afkan brought the Cholesh Shemot Alalu. So to over here, it means to the exclusion of all those items that we mentioned in the Mishnah, which would preclude it from being a Chaya or being an Egel. With regards to the other items of a Shkuta and a Shreifa and a Kilayim, and as Rashi notes over here, all the other Psulim are Psulim that are generic Psulim by a Korban, and the Pesach as being a Korban also has those Psulim associated with it. All of these are true by the Korban of Pesach, so they're also going to be true with regards to the Peter Chomor. Ima lahalan zachar tamim uben shana. With regards to a Korban of Pesach, not only are you excluding all of those items, there actually is a particular type of animal that must be brought as a Korban of Pesach. That must be male, it must have no mum in it, and it has to be within its first year of its life. So Afkan, so to over here by Peter Chomor, you can have all of those requirements of zachar tamim uben shana. Tamalomar tifteh tifteh. We saw this before already, that the repetition of the word tifteh, riba, is inclusionary in nature. It says that we have a broader scope when it comes to the Peter Chomor. It says, I tifteh tifteh riba. If you're going to include other things in the scope, afilu kohani nami, why don't you include all the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah as well? So in Cain, se mahani le. Because if that's the case, then what's the gzeir shava of a se from Peter Chomor to the seh of Korban HaPesach? How does that help you over here? And as Rashi notes over here, umistavra, there's a logical argument to be made over here. Logic would dictate that the seh, savim, and seh, izim, would exclude all the items that we mentioned in our Mishnah, whereas the defined factors that are by Korban HaPesach, like zachar, tamim, uben shana, those aren't items that take it away from being a seh, they're just a particular type of seh. So logically, you would argue that the items that are included are the zachar, tamim, uben shana, which are not necessary, versus the ones that are excluded, which are listed in our Mishnah, that don't define it as a sek savim and say izim. Ibai lohu, mahu liftot beben pakua. Can you use a ben pakua to be podeh a peter chamor? Ben pakua, as we are familiar with from Kulin, is a fetus that was found in the mother after she was shechted, and now is live. So that animal does not require shechita. If it has not reached full term, everybody agrees it doesn't require shechita. If it goes to full term, that's a machloka between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, as whether you need shechita for the ben pakua that reached its full term, but was found inside of its mother alive after the mother was shechted. Leave it to Rabbi Meir, loti baylach. According to Rabbi Meir, it's no question you can use it. Kevin Dam Rabbi Meir ben pakua don shechita. Since Rabbi Meir believes that when it goes to full term and it's found inside the mother, after the shechita of the mother, that animal is independent enough that it requires its own shechita, then clearly that's called a seh, and you can redeem the peter chamor with it. According to the Rabbanu who do not require shechita for that animal, then does it qualify as a seh? Damrei shechita timo mitaharato. Since the mother's shechita was successful at rendering this fetus as being kasher and able to be eaten even without shechita, kibisra b'tikula dami, do we say that it's equivalent of meat in a box or in a basket, meaning that it's already considered to be quote-unquote shechuta? Since it's shechted, it's just like meat that you've already shechted, that would not be possible to be used as a seh. Oduma came into hashta mi'arohid v'azil sekrinan bay. Or do we say, since now it's running around, going back and forth, that's called a seh. Even though technically you don't need shechita, we don't look at it as if it was shechut. So that's the question as to whether we take its halachic standing, which is that it's considered to be shechut, and therefore it's not considered to be a seh, or do we look at its physical character? And right now it's running around like any other seh, and maybe that would qualify as a seh for redemption. So Marzutra Amar ain't budim. Marzutra says you cannot use it for pidya. And Ravashi Amar Pudim. Ravashi says you can use it. Amale Ravashi the Marzutra Madatech. What's your reasoning? What's your logic? The Alfot Mi Pesach. Because you're going to learn from Korban HaPesach. Ima Lalan. If you're going to learn from Korban HaPesach to say that a Pesach Shkuta is no good, so too this animal that is deemed to be Shechut is no good. Ima Lalan Zachar Tamim Uben Shana. If you're going to compare it to a Pesach, take it the full way and say that you require also a male Tamim, no balmum, and within its first year, Afkan zachar tamim ben shana, tifteh, tifteh, riba. Again, we have the ribuy of tiftev, tiftev, which says that not everything that's true by the korban of Pesach is true by the seh of Petach Hamor. Itiftev, tiftev, riba, afilu ben pakua nami. Well, if you want to say that, then you should include ben pakua as well. Tiftev, tiftev, is a ribuy, include a ben pakua. Imkein, seh, seh, ma hanile. If that's the case, then what it says seh do to help you, meaning that what does comparing to korban of Pesach do for you in this instance? And as Rashi again says, mistavra, the muti ben pakua, the kishachutami. It makes more sense to exclude ben pakua because it's deemed to be as if it was shechted, and therefore it's not considered to be a seh. And tifteh b'mirabe b'amom in a keva or ben shtei shanim, which clearly are considered to be a seh. They're not a particular type of seh, but they are a seh, and therefore logically you would differentiate between these two items. And as Rashi notes over here, if you say that the source is from Korban HaPesach, then not only would it be problematic according to the Chachamim, but even be problematic according to Rabbi Meir. Because we have a position with regards to Korbanot, Kivaleit, Prat, the Yotzei Dofen. Kivaleit means it has to be born in order to be kosher the Korban, not something that was came through a cesarean section that was taken out of the mother. And this Ben Pakua was clearly taken out of the mother after she already was dead, and therefore would be disqualified from being a Korban, whether you think it needs Shechita or doesn't need Shechita. Yibailu, Ma'aliv Dot B'nidmeh. What is the din with regards to a nidmeh? Nidmeh is an animal that is born not as a mixed breed, but to a single breed, but it has character traits that make it very similar to a different breed. So over here, where you have keves and a kibsah that got together, but the animal that's born doesn't look like a keves. It looks like a different animal. What's the din with regards to nidmeh? Now, the question is not so clear because the Mishnah already discussed the issue of kilayim and nidmeh, which is not kilayim according to everyone. It's a lighter form, we'll call it, of kilayim because kilayim was produced through an aveira of crossbreeding. And even if it wasn't done intentionally, it still came about from a bria that wasn't intended to be created, whereas a nidmeh is a congenital problem and therefore it would be more likely to be okay versus that of kilayim. Is the question, does nidmeh also have the same din as kilayim? Do we say that kilayim and nidmeh are equal, and therefore whatever's true of kilayim will be true of nidmeh? Or is the question of the Gemara, is there a gzeirat derabanan with regards to nidmeh that makes it like kilayim? So you can look at it either from a doraita level, do we say that nidmeh and kilayim have the same din? Or maybe a rabbinic level, as the Gemara's question, do we go zera nidmeh Atu kilayim. So leave it to Rabbi Eliezer, loti bailoch. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's clear that there's no question here. Hasha bi kilayim parkina bin nidmeh mi bai. If you can use kilayim, which is an actually mixed breed, then certainly you can use nidmeh to be podeh with. Di bailoch, leave it to Rabbonon. And the question is according to the Rabbonon. Bi kilayim hu delo parkinan. They do not allow you to use kilayim ubin nidmeh parkinan. But by nidmeh, they will allow you to use it. Odoma lo shna. Or maybe it makes no difference with regards to nidmeh and kilayim. Tashma. Para sheyaldam min eiz. You have a cow that gave birth to something that looks like a goat. Ein podim. You're not allowed to use that as a redemption for a petach chamor. Ha. What you would infer from that is that Rachel sheyaldam min eiz podim. Had it been a ewe that gave birth to this goat, then you would be allowed to be podeh. Because otherwise, what's the chiddush here? The fact that a cow gave birth to a goat, the fact that you can't use that, that's not a surprise that you can't use that. It was born to a cow. So then, what's the chiddush in this statement? Elaim Kain, you're medayek from that, that a ewe that had an ace would be allowed to be used for b'diah, and then that would answer our question that you can use nidmeh, even according to the chachamim. Where it says, Mani, who's the author of this position. Ilema Rabbi Eliezer, if you think it's Rabbi Eliezer, habi kilayim nami parkinon. Even by kilayim, you're allowed to use it for pidyon petach chamor. So, of course, nidmeh would be fine. Ela lav the rabbonani. It must be, this is according to the rabbonon. And therefore, we see from here that a nidmeh would be permitted to be used for pidyon petach chamor, even though kilayim cannot be used. Gemara says, lo, dolam Rabbi Eliezer. It is Rabbi Eliezer that's authoring it, and Gufa Kamash Malon, and it's teaching us this din itself. So now the chiddush in the statement is not the diuk that you made out of it, but the actual statement itself. The parash yaldam in eiz ain podim. The fact that a cow gave birth to an eiz, we don't allow you to use this. Lotemazila batre diday. We don't say go after the animal itself. By eiz malyahu. And therefore this is defined as a goat. Ela zil batarime. But rather you must follow the species of the mother. By egelu. And therefore that defines this offspring as being a calf because the mother is a cow. And that's the Kamash Malon, that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who permits Kilayim, in this case of Nidmeh, he follows the mother in this instance, and given that, this is problematic because it's a calf, and not an Eiz, even though it looks like an Eiz, and you can't use it for Pidyon, and that's a Chiddush here. And even Rabbi Eliezer, who permits Kilayim, will not permit you to use a Eiz that is born from a cow. Tashma, Detani Rabba Bar Shmuel, Eizu Kilayim, what is the case of Kilayim? Rachel Sheyalda Minez. It's a case where a ewe gave birth to a goat. Vaviv Seh. And its father is a Seh. Aviv Seh Kilayim Ho? Wait a minute. If the father is a Seh, where do you see Kilayim over here? Meaning that a Rachel is also a Min Seh. If the father is a Seh, then where do you have Kilayim? So Ella Nidmehu. It's not Kilayim, but rather a Nidmeh. So Ella, you must have to say this. Ezuhu domi lekilayim. What is considered to be similar to kilayim? The shavu rabbanon ki kilayim. That the rabbanon made it like kilayim. Rachel sheyada min eiz vaviv seh. It's a case where the ewe gave birth to an eiz and the father was a seh. Over here, obviously the seh means a keves, means a sheep. Where both parents are sheep, but the offspring is an eiz. Lamai. For what din is the Gemara over here saying that the Nidmeh has the same status as Kilayim? Again, goes back to the original question. Is the Gemara asking, does Nidmeh have the same din as Kilayim Midoraita? Or are we being Gozer Midorabanan and Nidmeh because of Kilayim? But either way, the Braita now is telling us that this Nidmeh is problematic. And it has the same status as Kilayim. But for what does it have the same status as Kilayim? Either Kodoshim, if you want to tell me that it can't be used by Kodeshim, Mehechid Mayit Kilayim. So wherever you excluded Kilayim from, Mehatam Mayit Nidmeh. Similarly, Nidmeh is also knocked out in the same Pasuk, which is the Pasuk in Parshat Emor, the Tanya. Sure, Kesev away is Kivaleid, Vayashivat Yamim Tachat Imo, Umiyom Hashmini Vahala Yiratzeh, the Korbani Sheh Hashem. Sure, Kesev, Prat Likilayim. Sure, Kesev says it has to be that mean and not a mixed breed. Oheis prat nidmeh. And oheis comes to exclude a nidmeh. So I don't need you to tell me that a nidmeh is like kilayim. I have that from the limud itself. Wherever I learned that kilayim is problematic for kodoshim, I also learned that nidmeh is problematic for kodoshim. Either bechor, to tell me that it's not classified as a bechor, that we have in the pasuk, ach bechor shor, or bechor kesef, or bechor eis, lo tivteh, amar rachmono, ashehu shor ubechoro shor. We already learned this before with regards to the Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesef, Bechor Eiz. Each one of those taught you that it has to be the parent and the offspring have to be of the same species. And just like that's true with regards to Kilayim, it's also true with regards to Nidmeh. And therefore, it has to be Hu Shor, U Bechoro Shor. Ella the Maser. It's for Maser Beima. It's coming to tell you that a Nidmeh is problematic. Tachat, tachat mi kodoshim gamar. It says, with regards to kodoshim, tachat imo, that has to be together with its mother for the first 7 days. It's only qualified as a korban from the 8th day and onward. And by the Maaser Behemah, it says, kol sher yavor tachat hashevet. Anything that goes under the staff is counted towards the Maaser Behemah. So I have a tachat, tachat, which is a gzer shava, that teaches me that Maaser Behemah is the same din as Kodashim. And we already saw Kodashim that Kilayim and Nidmeh were precluded, so too by Maaser Behemah, Kilayim and Nidmeh would be precluded. Ella the Peter Chamor. So the only thing that's left that we have a said that's meaningful for is Peter Chamor. From this you would see that Nidmeh has the same din as Kilayim. Gemara says, lo, the olam the Maaser Behemah. Hakugon sheish bo mitzat simanim. It's a case where it's Nidmeh. It looks like a different animal, but it has some common identifiers that are similar to the parent. So yes, you have here a ewe that gave birth to a goat, but the goat's features are not all goat. There's some features that make it similar to its mother, the ewe. Maudetema, you would have thought, Havara, Havara, mi Bechor, that will learn the Gzer Shava between Maaser Behemah and Bechor, which is by So the tachat is one gzer shava, the avor is another gzer shava, and by the pigeon bechor it says vavarta kol peter rechem Hashem. So you have havara, havara, gamar. We're going to learn that gzer shava to bechor, and just like by bechor, if it's a nidmeh that has mixat simanim that are similar to the parent, then it is considered to be a bechor. It is a bechor ba'mum, but it is a bechor. So too by meiser behema, it would qualify based on that gzer shava. Kamash malan. Tachat, tachat, mikodoshim, gamar. That's what the Kamash Malan is, that you don't learn the Gzer Shava Havara Havara, but rather the Gzer Shava of tachat, tachat. To teach you that, we compare Maiser Ve'ema to Kodoshim, rather than to Bechor, and therefore Nidmeh would be precluded completely, and would not have the din of Bechor, whereby we would consider it to be a Bechor that has Kedusha with a Mum in it. By Meiser Ve'ema, that would not be the case. It would be like Kodeshim, where it's precluded completely from the possibility of being utilized. Ivaluhu, ma'uliftot b'psulei ha-muktashim. Can you use psulei ha-muktashim in order to redeem the Peter Chamor? Psulei ha-muktashim is a korban that got a mum in it. You redeem the animal. Even after you redeem the animal, there's still a requirement that you treat it with a certain amount of consideration of Kedusha. That means that you can't work with it, you can't shear it, you can't use its milk. All of those items are precluded by Psulei Muktashim. The only thing you can do is really eat it. The Gemara says, Alibi the Rabbi Shimon lo tibayloch. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that a Peter Chamor doesn't have any Isra Ana, then there's no issue. Kevin damar mutar ba'ana, chulinu. It's completely chulin, and therefore to exchange it onto Psulei Muktashim would not be a problem at all. Tibayloch, Alibi the Rabbi Yehuda. The question really stems from the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Asur Behana'a, who says that a Peter Chamor is Asur Behana'a. My, Kevin de Asur Behana'a, since it's Asur Behana'a, Ein Isur Chalal Isur. You can't have one Isur devolve upon another Isur. Odilma, Kevin de Lo Tofis Pidjono, since its Pidjon does not take on its status, Afkuye Isur Ba'almahu, it's all it's coming to do is remove the Isur from the Peter Chamor. So, you have a Peter Chamor, that according to Rabbi Yehuda is a Surbana. You have a Seh, which is the mechanism for redemption, and then the Seh releases the Peter Chamor from the Isur, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Seh itself never has any din of Isur associated with it. That was really what precipitates the question over here. The Seh of Psulei HaMuktashim, in functioning as the mechanism to redeem the Peter Chamor, how do we view that? Now, really, in this case, there should be no problem of any Isur Chalal Isur, because the Isur is on the Peter Chamor, and the Seh is the item that you're using, and the Seh has no Kedusha, not before, not after the redemption. If that's the case, what Isur Chalal Isur is there over here? So either you have to suggest that what happens over here is when the Seh redeems the Peter Chamor, for a moment, there is an Isur Hana on the Seh, but that goes away immediately. The Torah says, transfer the Isur Hana from the Peter Chamor to the Seh, and then once it reaches the Seh, it automatically dissolves or dissipates, and there is no Isur Hana. So then the question over here is, where the Seh is already Psulei HaMuktashim and already has Isurim associated with it, can the Isur of Peter Chamor devolve upon it? That's one way to view it. Or, you have to say over here that since the Seh is functioning to release the Isur from the Peter Chamor, even though it itself never takes on any form of Isur, it is classified or considered like it is taking on that Isur that was associated with the Peter Chamor. And since it's considered as if it's taking on that Isur because it's releasing the Peter Chamor, it has to be something at least that the Isur can devolve upon, even though it itself has no Isur associated with it. But if you're removing Isur from something else, it has to be open to the acceptance of that Isur. And that's the question as to whether, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use a Seh Psulei HaMuktashim. Can we invoke the principle of Ein Isur Chalal Isur over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari Breid Rav Kahana, Mi Zutar Mai Dechtiv Behu. Why was it so small, that which is written by them in Parshat Re'ei, when it says about Psulei HaMuktashim, it says you can treat them Keltzvi V'Chayayah. Rak b'chol avad nafshecha tizbach v'achal to basar ki v'rikat Hashem elokecha shenatan lach b'chol she'arecha tamei v'ator yochelenu katzvi v'cha'ayal. You treat it like a tzvi and hayal, which means that there's no issues of tuma and tahara in terms of kodoshim. There are some other limitations, but it's like a tzvinaya. Matzvi v'ayal ein podim, apsulei muktashim ein podim. Since psulei muktashim are compared to a tzvi v'ayal, that would tell us that just like a tzvi v'ayal cannot be used for pidyon peter chamor, so too, psulei muktashim cannot be used because they are classified as or considered like tzvi v'ayal. And since tzvi v'ayal are not qualified as a mechanism for redeeming the peter chamor, so too psulei muktashim would not be qualified. Where it says, ashta da'ati da'ochi, now that you reach that conclusion, the Rabbi Shimon Ami, even according to Rabbi Shimon, he says that Petach Chamor has no Isur Hana'ah, and therefore there's no issue of Isur Chalal Isur here. Nevertheless, Tzvi V'ayal Tibu, he would also say it's problematic with Tzulei Muktashim, not because of Isur Chalal Isur, but because of the problem of Tzvi V'ayal. And that precludes it from being used for redemption of Petach Chamor. Yibayelu, Ma'olif Dot B'Behemat Shvi'it. Can you do a redemption with an animal that is of Shvi'it? Obviously, animals are not of Shvi'it because they're not items that grow from the ground. What happened here was that he had Perot Shvi'it and he transferred the Kedusha from the Perot Shvi'it onto the animal. Or he transferred the Kedusha from the Perot onto money and then he purchased with that money an animal. Those animals that now have Kedusha Shvi'it associated with them, what is the din? Where it says, Vadai Loti Baila. If we know for sure that it has Kedushat Shvi'it associated with it, no question, the Achila Marachmana Velo L'Sechora. There you cannot utilize it because the Torah specifies with regards to Perot Shvi'it that you must eat the Perot Shvi'it. You cannot transact with them. You cannot use them for commercial purposes. So over here, if you're taking a set and trying to use it to redeem the Petach Chamor, you're not eating the Perot Shvi'it, quote unquote. You're using it as a mechanism for commercial transaction, transferring something from the Petach Chamor onto the Seh, and that would not be permitted. Ki dibaylach safek. Our question is, when you have a safek, like in the instance where animal gave birth to a zachar and a keba, and we don't know which came out first, was it the male or the female, so we don't know if there's a makor here. Our Mishnah told us, you separate out a Seh and you keep it for yourself. So in that instance, there's no real commercial transaction going on because the seh is remaining in your possession, just like the Petach Chamor is remaining in your possession. So then, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon Loti Bailoch, according to Rabbi Shimon who says that there is no Isur Hana'ah, the let lay safek. So therefore there's no safek. There's no Isur Hana'ah over here. You don't have to separate out any seh when it's a safek of a Petach Chamor because there's nothing wrong with the Petach Chamor. You can use it, you can utilize it, there's no restriction whatsoever. The question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says there is an Isur Hana'ah associated with the Petach Chamor. Therefore, when you have a safek, you have to be mafrish a seh to remove that Isur Hana'ah in order to utilize the Petach Chamor. But a motzi mechavero la varaya, therefore you get to keep the seh. My, what's the din here? Came into mafrish tleh v'hula atzmo, since he's mafrish tleh and he keeps it for himself, lo achlo krinan bay. That's called utilizing for achila. You haven't done anything to undermine its status as being food, or a food item, and therefore it's qualified. Odilma came into kama delo mafke isurei lo mishtarei kischoradami. Or do we say that since the Petach Chamor remains a sur until you redeem it on the seh, that makes it into a quasi-commercial transaction? Because there's something that's happening in the exchange. It's not simply that the exchange now permits you to use the Petach Chamor. The Petach Chamor was a sur, and now the exchange makes it mutar. Maybe that status change is enough to deem it as a commercial transaction. So Tashma, Damar Rav Chista, Beimat Shvi'it, Ein Podim Va Et HaVadai. When it's a Vadai, Petach Chamor, you can't use it to redeem it, because there it's clearly Skora, because you're handing it over to the Kohen. Not only are you taking the Yisur off the Petach Chamor, you're also giving it to the Kohen. Val Podim Va Et HaSafek. But when it comes to a Safek, we do allow you to use the Pidyon mechanism, because the Seh remains in your possession. So when the Petach Chamor is a safek, we allow you to transfer that onto the seh, because the seh remains with you, and that's considered to be lo achla v'lo l'skora. V'amar Rav Chista, beimat shvi'it ptura min habichora, v'chayevet b'matanot. A beimat shvi'it, which, again, you can't have an animal that is of shvi'it, it's a case where you transfer the kedushat shvi'it onto the animal, that animal does not have a din of kedushat bechora, number one, but it does have a requirement that you give the zroa, the chayayim, and the keba to the kohen. Turah min habechora, the reason turah min habechora is, lach lo ma'amar chvano velo l'sreifa. Again, another din that derives from the fact that by Perot Shviit it says, Ilachem le'ochla. It's for you to eat. We said le'ochla means to eat it, velo le'skorah, not for commercial purposes. The other din that we learn is le'ochla, velo le'sreifa. You can eat it, but you can't burn it. You can't ruin it. You can't waste it. And over here, if it's going to be a kadosh with kedushat bechorah, it's going to go on the mizbeach, and you're going to be burning it on the mizbeach. So if that's the case, it's not being utilized properly, and therefore the shvi'it prevents it from getting or gaining kedushat bechorah. On the other hand, chayevet b'matanot, d'la'achlo k'rinimba. As far as the matanot are concerned, what you do with the zroa, l'lechayim, and the kebah is eat them. Even though you're giving them to the kohen, the Kohen is going to eat them also. So that carries out the purpose of the Perot Shvi'it over here, the animal or Shvi'it, which is intended for Achila. Giving the Matanot doesn't change that fact that it is going to be used for Achila. Meiteve. Hauchel Misat Shvi'it. Person who eats from an Isa. Again, dough that is of Shvi'it. Ad shelo hurma chalata, before chala was removed from it. Chayav mita. That person is chayav mita bidei shamayim. Chala has the same din as truma. And just like a zar that eats truma is chayav mita bidei shamayim, so too, if you eat something, eat chala, or eat something that's teva the chala, you're going to be chayav mita bidei shamayim. Vamai. Why is there any problem here at all? Tevin de'ilu mitamya batsrepahi. Since if the chala became tmeya, the only thing you're allowed to do with chala tmeya is burn it, then lochla machrana velo l'sreifa. And that would then undermine its status as shvi'it. So if you have an isat shvi'it and something goes wrong and it becomes tmeya, you're not allowed to eat it, you can only burn it. That's the case, that's the wrong use for perot shvi'it. And just like by the bechora, we said before, if it has to go on the mizbeach, that precludes it from the din of Bechorah, because Shvi'id is too powerful for that. So do over here, why isn't Shvi'id so powerful that it doesn't allow it to become Chala? It's not Chala, you're not Chayav, mitabidei shamayim. Where it says, Shani Ocha, Dikhtiv, Ludoroteichem. Because by Chala, it says Ludoroteichem, that it's always Chala, irrespective of the fact as to whether it's Shvi'id. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a brayta that supports that contention. When I know Chel Misat Shvi'id, Ajlo Umar Chalata, someone who eats from an isat shvi'it before the chala is taken off of it, how do I know shechayav mita? That is chayav mita bidei shemayim. It's tevel with truma embedded in it, meaning chala, which is like truma. Shnemar the doroteichem. So you see the limud is from the word doroteichem. Veligmar mina. So then why doesn't that become paradigmatic in nature? And just like by chala it can be chal on the isat shvi'it, so too by bechora it should be able to chal on the shvi'it. Look at the primary purpose of the item. By chala, the primary purpose of the item is to eat it, and you will eat it. Because only if there's a mishap will you have to burn it. That's if the chala becomes tmeya, and there's something wrong, then you have to burn it. If you have to burn it, then you have a problem with shvi'it. That's only one option out of many options of what could happen here. The primary purpose and the primary outcome will be that you eat the chala, or the kohen will eat the chala. By the Bechor, that's not true. By Bechor, the primary purpose is to get it on the Mizbeach with Kedushat Bechorah. So therefore, in the normal circumstance, you will end up burning the item on the Mizbeach. It happens to be, if it gets to be a moment, then you don't need to do that. But that's the mishap situation. The primary situation, or the proper way to deal with it, is to have it go on the Mizbeach. If that's the case, then it's L'Sreifa, not Achila. That's why, when it comes to an animal of shvi'it, there is no Kedushat Bechorah. On the other hand, if it's an isat shvi'it, there is chala because of this distinction that we are noting. Nitano le kohen. If he gives it to the kohen, in our Mishnah it says, when he gives the petra chamor to the kohen has to redeem it immediately, as Rashi said, that afilu sha'achat, he's not allowed to keep it around, he needs to redeem it right away. Now the Gemara says, Tanina lahad detanu rabbanan. Our Mishnah corroborates that which we have in a braita. Israel hayalo petra chamor betoch beito. Israel, who has a petra chamor, which obligates him now to give a set to the kohen or do a rifah, v'amar lo a kohen sneuli v'ani efdeu, just give it to me and I'll redeem it. Harizel lo yitnu lo. Israel cannot give it to the kohen. Elim kein pido b'fanav. Elim kein, he watches the kohen do the pidyon right in front of him. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, zot omeret. What you would conclude from this is nech shedu kohanim al pitrei chamorim. They're not believed when it comes to Petra Chamor. When he says, hand me the Petach Hamor, I'll redeem it, you don't believe him, he's not going to redeem it. Pshita, that seems to be a obvious outcome from what we're saying. That's only in a case where we know for sure he's chashud on this. The mikre over here would mean that Rashi says, mikre, we call him chashud. We already suspect him with this issue. Or, the mikre could be even the word mikre. That we already had incidents in the past where he's already had problems with this and therefore we won't believe him. So either way, maybe you'd have to have some sort of background that would make you suspicious of this kohen, of Obastamalo. But as a default, we would assume the kohen would do the right thing. Kamash Malan, that we do not say that because the Morava Hetera. The reason we don't believe the Kohanim is they talk themselves into justifying their position. He says, look, in the end, I'm going to take off the seh, it's going to be mine anyway. So why do I have to take off the seh? The Petach Hamor is mine or the seh is mine? Doesn't matter, so then why do I have to do some act in order just to get whatever it is anyway in the end? So he's more heter to say, I don't need to do the pidyon with the seh, and that's why we don't trust the Kohen. Not because he's going to steal anything, just because he can't be bothered to separate it out. By the Yisrael, you don't think that way. The Yisrael's Petach Hamor is problematic or asur until he gives the seh. And even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says it's not asur, still the Yisrael knows the mitzvah Petach Hamor is only accomplished if he takes off the seh, which he has to get to the Kohen. Now in a case of safek, where the Yisrael is going to keep the seh, maybe the Yisrael should have the same problem as the Kohen. Because just when the Kohen said he keeps the seh, then he said, I don't need to do it. So the Yisrael might say the same thing by a case of safek Petach Hamor, maybe he will say the same thing. The seh, I'm going to be mafrish, is going to stay with me. So the answer is that by the Yisrael, it's either maybe because Chachamim only were gozer, or only worried about it with the issue of a vadai, not by a case of safek, or maybe that was the reality, that the Yisraelim were not chashudim, the Kohenim are chashudim. We find that by a number of items that we're going to see that Kohenim were chashudim with regards to these issues because they were more a heter for themselves, which Yisrael wouldn't do. Or the Yisrael knows that he has to be mafrisha seh, he has to redeem it. And even if it stays with him, he knows the concept of being redeemed, and normally that it would leave his possession. Here it happens to stay in his possession. But the Kohen, where it's going to end up in his possession anyway, he'll be Morehet there and say, what do I need to do the redemption for if it's going to be mine anyway? Because he never, as they says, Bidyon Petach Hamor with his own, he doesn't do it at all. Yisrael feels compelled to do something because normally the seh wouldn't stay by him. So here where it does stay with him, it's a monetary argument, he still feels compelled to do the right thing and take it off. All right, next Mishnah. Hamafrish pidyon petach hamor umet. Someone who separates out a seh for pidyon petach hamor, but has yet to reach the hand of the kohen. Bilezo mer chayavin ba'achriyuto kechamesh slaim. Shelben, you are responsible for it, just like you're responsible to ensure that the five seller, the five shekel kodesh, get to the kohen when you redeem your son, the bechor. So do over here, until it reaches the hand of the kohen, you're responsible for it. Kamim omrim, ein chayavin ba'achriyuto. Kepidyon Maiser Sheni. Similar not to a Pidyon Ben, but rather similar to Maiser Sheni, where once you've redeemed it, if the money gets lost, it's not your issue anymore. The Maiser Sheni was already released, and the Kedusha is already on those coins. And whatever happened to them is not your issue anymore. So too over here. Once the set is removed, it's not your issue anymore. Heid Rabbi Yoshua, V'Rabbi Tzadok al Pidyon Peter Chamor Shemeit, Sheinkan Goyin Klum. So they give testimony similar to the view of the Chachamim, that it was already redeemed by a seh, and then it dies, then the kohen has nothing. Meit Petach Hamor, if the Petach Hamor itself dies, not the seh that you redeemed it onto, but the Petach Hamor itself dies, Belezomer Yikaver, you have to bury it, Umutar Behanato Shotleh, and the seh is meaningless. So over here, you already separate out a seh, then the Petach Hamor dies. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you haven't accomplished the mitzvah yet. Since the mitzvah hasn't been accomplished, it means that the Isur is still associated with the Petach Hamor. That's why you have to bury it, because it has an Isur Anah associated with it, like Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, the Seh never accomplished the redemption, and therefore it's Kulin, and you can do whatever you want with it. The Petach Hamor has already been released once you separated out the Seh. But the Tleh, the Kohen, the Seh goes to the Kohen because your redemption was already done. And even though now the Petach Hamor died, nevertheless, the Tleh already got that status as being the Pidyon, and therefore it has to be given to the Kohen. So the machloka between Rabbi Lez and the Chachamim persists here as to whether you accomplish the Mishnah Pidyon when you take separate and redeem it with the Seh, or do you only accomplish it once it's handed to the Kohen? Again, this goes back to the nafkamina, not only what's mentioned in our Mishnah, but also the regards to the when you make the bracha. Do you make the bracha when you take the seh, or do you make the bracha when you hand it to the Kohen? I'm Rav Yosef, my time under Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's position? Dichtev, because it says in Bamidbar, in Parshat Korach, with regards to the footnotes, Kihuna, that there's an association between Pidyon Bei Matameya and Pidyon Aben. It says, Kol Peter Rechem Nechol Basar Sheyekriv Lashem Badamo Beima Yilach, Ach Potot Ipeh Bechor Adam, Ve'et Bechor Beima Tmeya Tiftev. So in the same post, if you have Pidyon Peter Chamor, which is the Beima Tmeya, and Pidyon Haben. Truth is that it's also true in Shmot Yud Gimel, which says, Kol Peter Chamor Tiftev Beseh, in both those places, there's a hekesh between Pidyon Haben and Pidyon Peter Chamor. So, ma b'chor adam chayav b'achriyuto. Just like by Pidyon Haben, you're responsible to get the money to the Kohen, and if not, there's no redemption done. A b'chor b'matmeya chayav b'achriyuto. Similarly, by Peter Chamor, until it reaches the hands of the Kohen, the seh, you haven't discharged your obligation. Amalei Abaye, Ima b'chor adam mutar ba'ana, ap b'chor b'imat meya mutar. So then, take it to its full extent and say, just like by Pidyon Haben, the ben is not asur ba'ana before you do the redemption, so too by Peter Chamor, it shouldn't be asur ba'ana before you do the redemption. B'chitei ma'achanami, if you want to say, okay, that's fine, we could do that. V'atznan, our Mishnah says, mate, Peter Chamor, Rabbi Elazar omer ikaver. When the Peter Chamor dies, you have to bury it. The only reason you have to bury it is because there's an isur ana associated with it. Mayi kaver, why do you have to bury it? Lav de asur bana, it must be because it's asur bana, and that's why you have to bury it. It says, lo, ikaver ke b'chor adam. No, it has to be buried because of the hekesh to b'chor adam. Just like a b'chor adam is buried, so too a peter chamor needs to be buried. Not because there's an isur ana, but because of the hekesh. So it says, el adam b'chor hu debayik vura, pashut lo bayik vura. You're telling me that that's a unique aspect to a b'chor adam that requires burial? Even a pashut requires burial. Doesn't matter whether you're b'chor or not a b'chor, it's because you're a human being that you require a kvura. It's nothing to do with being a b'chor. So that hekesh doesn't make so much sense to say, oh, just like b'chor adam is buried, so too peter chamor is buried. It's not a unique aspect of b'chor adam. It's a unique aspect of adam. If that's the case, then the hekesh can't teach you that piece of information. So the Rabbeinu Kirshom has been daiked out of the fact that over here, the requirement of Rabbi Eliezer that it be buried is exactly that. He said it needs to be buried. He doesn't say ikaver ki b'chor adam. He doesn't add in that qualifier that you bury it because it's similar to b'chor adam, like he did in the previous statements that he made, where he said the reasoning was derived because it was similar to b'chor adam. Here he doesn't say that. That's why it can't be the reason why you're burying it over here. And it must be because it's an isur ana. Ve'od, Tanya. And in addition to that, we have a braita that says explicitly, Modei Rabbi Eliezer b'Yisrael sheish lo safek peter chamor b'toch beito. Israel that has a safek peter chamor, meaning that Zachar and Nekeva were born to a mother that had yet to give birth, but we're not sure which one came out first. Then, mafrish tle alav v'hu shelo. He's mafrish et tle to exchange the peter chamor on, and then he gets to keep it because of motzi chaver alav araya. The author of that position is Rabbi Eliezer. That's exactly like Rabbi Huda's view, that in order for you to keep the Peter Chamor, you still have to be mafrish and seh in order to release it from its isur. And Rabbi Eliezer saying like Rabbi Huda means that there is an isur ana on the Peter Chamor. That's why you need the release. If it's Rabbi Shimon, you don't need that. There's no isur ana. You just keep the Peter Chamor for yourself and you're fine. So that can't be the source for Rabbi Eliezer's position, because if it was the source for Rabbi Eliezer's position, then not only should it be that your chayav b'achriyuto until it reaches the hand of the Kohen, it should also be mutar ba'ana. And here Rabbi Eliezer is saying to us that a peter chamor is asur ba'ana. So that's a good point. So some of the achronim point out that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to say that the only time that the netinat ha-kohen is ma'akev is when there's necessary to have a netinat ha-kohen. And this over here, in the case of safek, where there's no necessity for netinat ha-kohen, he's going to have to agree that the separating out of the set is sufficient in order to accomplish the mitzvah. Or you could say that the isur of peter chamor is released when the seh is exchanged for the peter chamor. The mitzvah is accomplished when you hand it to the kohen. So there are two stages in the mitzvah, which should also open up the possibility that maybe the bracha should also be at the time of the pidyon, since it does have some impact, even though the primary mitzvah is the giving of it to the Kohen. Which might then undermine the nafkamina that we said before, which is that the bracha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, would be when you give it to the Kohen versus the Chachamim when it's at the time of Pidyon. Maybe even according to Rabbi Eliezer, at the time of Pidyon, there's something that's happening, it's just held in abeyance until you give it to the Kohen. But maybe the mitzvah is accomplished then, because in the situation where you don't have to give it to the Kohen, that is the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yosef's source doesn't work here because of Abaye's challenge. Elamar Rava, Rava says, no, the source is like Rabbi Yosef, but Abaye's question is not a question. Because Amar Kra, ach poto difteh. Because it says that you must redeem it. That means, the only thing that's caught in this hekesh from the pasuk in Parsha Korach, the hekesh is about poto difteh, which is about the redemption. So only with regards to issues of redemption is there a hekesh. Beyond that, there's no hekesh. So for that reason, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the responsibility remains with you to redeem it. On the other hand, with regards to Yisra Anah, they have different dinim, because hekesh doesn't exist in that realm. It's not hotom. We have a mishnah in Arachin. Harachin b'sha'atan. Harachin must be paid immediately. Pidyon ben, achar shloshim yom. On the other hand, pidyon ben is only done after 30 days. Meaning that you have to wait 30 days before you do the redemption. Redemption prior to that point is not considered to be a redemption. Pidyon peter chamor, la'altar. When it comes to the redemption of a pidyon peter chamor, it happens immediately. Upidyon peter chamor, la'altar. Is that really true? That pidyon peter chamor, you do immediately if the peter chamor is a bakor? For a minute, we have seemingly have a different brayta that seems to differ in that opinion. Ein barachin upidyon ben ubiznirot upeter chamor pachot nishloshim. None of these items have less than 30 days. Umusafim adolam, and they go on forever. Now the meaning of shloshim here is different in each of these cases. By arachin, it means that there's no arachin for a child under 30 days. You have to be ben chodesh and lamala in order to go into the tables of arachin. The tables of arachin start at a month. So that means prior to that, there is no arachin or erech associated with it. After that point, musafim adolam. No matter how old the person is, the table covers that. So you can't be below 30 days, but after that point, you can go forever. Then with pidyon ben, it means that there's no pidyon ben before 30 days. You have to wait 30 days to make sure that it's a bar kayama. Then only then do you accomplish pidyon ben. Now, after that point, if you haven't done pidyon ben, forever you are chayav in pidyon ben. Nizirut. The minimum nizirut is shloshim yom that they learn out from the gematria of kodesh iyeh, the gematria is 30. The Gemara says there is stam nizirut, the default nizirut is 30 days. Mosifim adolam means you can take a net nizirut for as long as you want beyond 30 days. The minimum is 30 days, but beyond that you can make it as long as you want. So you see there are different meanings to each one of these items. But what bothers us is upeter chamor. It says here that peter chamor has a din of shloshim yom. We just said in the previous, right, no, that peter chamor is the altar. You redeem it immediately. Now it's a peter chamor, you gotta wait 30 days for it. But obviously there, Mosifin Adolam would mean after the 30 days are up, forever you are required to redeem it if you haven't redeemed it yet. So I'm Rav Nachman Lomar, Shim Pidao Padui, to tell you that if you do redeem it, it works. What is being said here is that the first Mishnah that said the altar says, Bidi Avad, if you do it within the 30 days, it works. But the proper way to do it, which is the brighter that we brought, is to wait till after 30 days. So that's how Rav Nachman solved the problem. Bidiyavad versus Lechatchila. Bidiyavad, it works from Miyad. Lechatchila, you should wait till 30 days. Gemara says, Michlau, Dibino, Impidao, Enu Padoi. From that statement, both the Mishnah and the Brayta say with Pidyon ben, you have to wait 30 days. That means both Bidiyavad and Lechatchila, you have to wait 30 days by a Pidyon ben. Is that really true? Vayitmar, Abudet, Beno, Betoch, Lamed Yom. If you redeem the Bechor, your child that's a Bechor within 30 days, Rav Amar Beno Padoi. Rav says it works. The Pidyon Ben works. It makes it sound like even Pidyavad, it works within the 30 days. So how can you say now, your explanation of Nachman leads us to a different conclusion. Where it says, wait a minute, Lavit Marala, didn't we already have a qualification of Rav's statement that Amar Rava, the Kuliyama Miakshav, ain't Beno Padoi. Everybody agrees that if you want it to happen immediately, it doesn't happen. If he says right now, this is the Pidyon Ben, doesn't work. The machloket as to whether you can work before 30 days is when you say, I'm giving you the money now, that the pidyon will be effective at the 30-day point. There is a machloket as to whether it works or not. Tosfot over here just notes Lashon Ze Eino Lekaman. This statement that we're brought over here, this qualification, is not exactly what's said later on in the Gemara. Nevertheless, here the Gemara says, based on that, it's not a question from Rav. Rav says it works, not because within the 30 days it works. It works because it takes effect after the 30 days. That means even b'diavad, within 30 days, you can't do pidyon aben. That's Rav Nachman's explanation. Rav Sheshet, who argues, and Rav Nachman says, Lamar, she'enu uver alav. That the reason you have a difference between the Mishnah and the Braita is that the Mishnah is saying that you could do it immediately, even l'chatchila. The Braita that says that shloshim yom says that you're not in violation of not doing the mitzvah until you cross the threshold of 30 days. You get a 30-day window in which to perform the pidyon peter chamor. If you wait beyond that, then you're in violation. Meitiv Rami bar Chama, is that really true? Mitzvato kol shloshim yom. Its mitzvah is all 30 days. Mikan velech. From that point forward, opodeu, either you redeem it, or foe, or you have to kill it. My love, what do you see from this? Mitzvah l'shato kol shloshim yom. What does it mean, mitzvato kol shloshim yom? Sounds like the Gemara is trying to interpret it and say, not that a mitzvah to do it all 30 days, rather it's a mitzvah to tarry with it until the 30th day, and then make your choice. Either do the redemption or the arifa. It says, lo, mitzvah liftoto kol shloshim yom. It's a mitzvah to redeem it for all 30 days. If that's true, then the mikan ve'elech and the breita doesn't make so much sense. Because it should have said, opodeu, o'over alav mibayi. If you cross over the threshold of 30 days, it should say then, not that either you do pidyon or arifa, but rather it should say either you do redemption or you're in violation. Meaning that if the proper time and the proper way to do it is in the first 30 days, when you cross the threshold of 30 days, it's saying to you, do the redemption, or you're in violation, because that's what happens after that 30-day point. Because if you want to say that the mitzvah only is triggered at the 30-day point, then the language is understandable that it says, at the 30-day point, these are the two options available to you. But if you believe that the mitzvah already exists earlier, then both those options are available to you even at an earlier point. And the trigger at the 30-day point is a question as to whether now you either do the redemption or you're going to be in violation. It's not a question of doing the redemption versus arifa. That was already available to you even before this point in time. Gemara says, Elo amarofo, Elo kasha, ha Rabbi Eliezer, de makshe, ad rabbanan de lo makshe. One is Rabbi Eliezer who has the hekesh, and one is the rabbanan that don't have the hekesh to bechor adam to pidyon aben. So according to Rashi, Elo amarofo is that the explanation of this braita is that there's a mitzvah l'shalto, that there is a mitzvah to delay and tarry until the 30th day in order to accomplish it. Nevertheless, it's not a proof to Rav Nachman because the explanation of this braita is according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the two braita that we brought before, one that said the altar and one that said that it's 30 days, those are both according to the Chachamim. The one that says the altar is lechatchila when you should do it, is the proper time to do it. The one that said 30 days means until 30 days you have the opportunity to do it. After that point, you're in violation. And that's the way we'd explain the three different braitot that we brought. And you can see that very clearly in the Shita Mikubetzet Ot Aleph. Although there he does ask, once you establish the fact that the mitzvah is the altar, where do you get the 30-day threshold from? Because we're not comparing it to a Bechor Adam. So he concludes that the 30-day window must be a Din Derabonon and not a Din Deoraito. Whereas other Rishonim believe that Rova is now coming to make a no statement or his own position, not like the solution of Rav Nachman, not like the solution of Rav Sheshet. Therefore, the braita that we brought over here, as well as the braita before that mentioned 30 days, those are both according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the braita that we brought originally that said the altar, that's the sheet that the Chachamim. And you can see that in the Shita Mekubetzet Obet, where he quotes from the Tosfot, Titzoniot, that Matzino Lufrushe Dishnuye Be'api Nafsha Kamishane. That this is a totally independent answer, not like Rav Sheshet. Not like Rav Nachman, it's a third solution to the problem that we have. Next, last Mishnah, which will finish off the parak. Lo ratza liftoto, if he doesn't want to redeem it, or fo, me'achorav, he's got to chop its neck off from behind, vikovro, and then you bury it because of the iser that is associated with it. Mitzvat abdiyah kodemet mitzvat arifa. The Torah would prefer that you do abdiyah and not arifa, shinamar, because the way that it's phrased in the Torah is, v'chol peter chamor tivteh v'seh, v'mlo tivteh v'rafto. If you don't redeem it, then you do arifa. So the idea would be that the pidyon is your primary way to do this. Arifa is the alternate if you don't do the proper thing, which is p'tia. We prefer p'tia because there's no loss involved there. You give the set to the Kohen, and you keep your petra chamor. In the case where you violate that, and you don't want to give it to the Kohen, we say you caused the Kohen a loss, so we're going to cause you a loss. So it's almost punitive in nature, which is the arafto, is therefore secondary option, not the primary option, because it's really what happens if you don't do what you were supposed to do. Interesting enough that the Mishnah uses the term mitzvah both by p'tia and the mitzvah of arifah. That leads the Rambam to count them as two separate mitzvot. One a mitzvah p'tia, one a mitzvah arifah. The Ravid criticizes and says, what are you talking about? It's not separate mitzvot. Arifah is only if you don't do the mitzvah of p'tia. There's no mitzvah or arifah. That's an outcome or a result of you're not doing the p'tia, you need to do arifah. And therefore, there's only one mitzvah over here of p'tia. You fail to do p'tia, then the only option available to you is the punitive action of arifah. And he says that the word mitzvah that's used in the Mishnah here is not literally a mitzvah. It's just loosely, you have two options. It's p'tia and arifah, but not that arifah is really a mitzvah. Mitzvah yida kodem the mitzvah ta p'tia. When it comes to nama ivriya, the proper way for the adon to deal with her is to marry her. If he doesn't marry her, then he should allow her to buy herself out or gain her freedom. Shneamar, v'im ra'a b'enei adonai asher lo ye'ada ve'hevda, v'am rachrido yishol demokra b'vigdoba. Since he didn't do yehud with her, since he didn't marry her, therefore he should grant her the right to be poda herself. That again shows that it's only because you didn't do yehud, tia comes on the table. That means that yehud is the primary option available. Mitzvah Yibum, kodem the mitzvah chalitza. When it comes to Yibum and chalitza, Yibum is the primary mitzvah. Chalitza is only an option if you don't do Yibum. So, Berishuna, Shayu mitkavnin l'shem mitzvah. In the beginning, when they used to do Yibum, l'shem mitzvah lakim, l'shem achiv, then they would allow Yibum before chalitza. Bakshav, Shayu mitkavnin l'shem mitzvah. Nowadays, where they don't have coming out for that mitzvah, but rather they marry the brother's wife, because she's pretty, because they like her, other ulterior motives, then Amru, mitzvah chalitza, kodemet the mitzvah yibum. In that instance, we said, better to do chalitza, rather than do yibum, which is our practice today, that we do chalitza, and not yibum. But that's also influenced by the cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom of not taking more than one wife, which could also be an issue with regards to yibum and chalitza. This is the view of Abba Shaul in the Gemara in Yevamot, which is that he believes that you have to do Yibum L'Shem Shamayim, because then that's when the Torah waived the Isser of Eshet Achiv, is for you to perform the mitzvah of Yibum, where he terms it as Ki'ilu Pogeya Ve'erva, and he even says it's Karov, that the blood is a Mamzer, because of the fact that there really is a problem of Arayot that still exists. He doesn't say it in a definitive statement, but he says that it's Karov L'Davar, that that's the case. On the other hand, the Chachamim, who disagree with Abba Shaul, believe that Yibum, by definition, eliminates Eshet Achiv. And that means no matter why you marry Eshet Achiv, it's still waived in that instance, because Yibum says that there's no Isser of Eshet Achiv in that instance. And therefore, they would say that Yibum should always go before Chalitza, because of the way the Pasuk phrases it again, which is, if you don't want to be making Shem Achiv, then you do Chalitza, which means the primary option that we're offering to you is Yibum. It's only if you don't take that primary option that you do Chalitza. Hagu'ula, ba'adon, hu, kodem la, kol adam. When it comes to ownership of an individual, he goes before everyone else. Nemar, v'im b'beimat me'a upada b'erkecha, v'yasaf chamishito alav, v'im lo yigael, v'nimkar b'erkecha. If he does not redeem it, then it's sold at its value. Now, the pasuk over here is brought with regards to, as she says, matis b'eimat me'a, the b'erek abay. Someone who donates the value of the b'eimat me'a, not kosher animal, to Bedek Abaye, to Kodesh. So in that case, he is the primary person to do it, because the pasuk says, if he doesn't redeem it, then it's sold at its value, which implies that the primary option is for him to redeem it. Only if he doesn't do that, will we offer it over to the public at large. This Mishnah here is also quoted in Arachin, but when it's quoted in the Gemara in Arachin, it actually is talking about a Steachuza. And over there, the Mishnah brings a different reason, which is, the reason that we want the Baalim to do it before anyone else is because the Baalim will benefit Hekdesh more because of two reasons. One is, the Baalim have to add on a Chomesh on top. And number two is, the Baalim, B'nei Shechaviv Aleihem, it's their land, and it's more beloved to them, they're more likely to come and redeem it at a higher price. So for hektesh's purposes, it's better to use the balim, or the original owner, the adon of the property, than a third party. So those reasons then are combined with the reason that we have over here, which is that of the pasuk. So then you have more than one reason as to why we would want the owner, rather than a third party, to redeem the steach huzah. That's because both the owner will give more, pay more because of the chomesh and his love of the land. Plus, you have the pasuk by Behemat Me'ah that teaches you that if you don't redeem it, then you sell it off, which again implies that the owner is the first party in line. Okay, with that we end the first parak. Hadron Allah, Chalukeach, Ubar, Chomoro.